Today on The Travel Guys. In the travel news, American Airlines has a new boarding process with 9. Yes, you heard that right. 9 boarding groups. And British Airways has asked their cargo loaders not to relieve themselves inside the airplanes. Yes, you heard that right. Inside the plane. More in the travel news. If you've ever thought about attending a major sporting event like the Indianapolis 500 or the Kentucky Derby, you'll want to catch our interview with Daniel Chavez at 3:20. And you know, food is always a popular subject on the show. And at 3:35, Michael Stern from Road Food joins us for the story of the Frito pie and other pie-like delights from the road. And finally, at 3:50, I go over to Lonely Planet's top 10 choices for places to visit this year in our United States. It's a little after 3 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon in Sacramento. Thank you for tuning into The Travel Guys.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome to another edition of The Travel Guys, and so named because, well, one of the guys on the program, that would be myself, travels for a living, and Tom travels for leisure a lot. And this week, we are both doing just that. Tom is off on an excursion to San Antonio, and I am, well, joining you live from St. Louis, where the National Tour Association is holding its annual meeting. So I am here on behalf of my company, Sports Leisure Vacations, getting some new travel ideas and getting up to date on things in our industry. So this is kind of an interesting program that we bring to you today. This is a live segment here, and we will have some live travel news. And then Luis is going to give you 3 interviews that Tom and I recorded earlier in the week. 3 really interesting interviews, I think, everything from the Indianapolis 500 and the Kentucky Derby to where the Frito pie was founded. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some of Lonely Planet's choices for places, interesting places to visit in the United States. So you will hear Tom later in the broadcast. You just won't hear him on this segment. So, Luis, if you'll fire up the jingle there, let's go with the travel news. And today on the Travel Guys, in the travel news here, the Department of Transportation, we talked about this a lot back in December. The DOT gave the public 60 days to leave their comments regarding in-flight voice calls. That means cell calls on your phone while you're on an airplane flight. That deadline passed in the last couple of weeks, and at which that by then there were more than 8,000 comments that had been left with the Department of Transportation, most of them overwhelmingly negative. It seems as though the public at large is not ready to allow cell phone usage on airplanes. Let's see, here are a sample. Please do not allow cell phone voice conversations during flight for airplanes. Passengers talk more loudly on a cell phone than they do during normal conversation, and they are not aware of what is going on around them when they're involved in those conversations. This is a real danger during an emergency. Valid point. As a 34-year veteran flight crew member, I am 100% against allowing people to make voice calls on commercial airline flights. This is a bad idea. Aircraft have gotten smaller with more seats. Stress levels and impatience with air travel is at an all-time high. Adding to this component to the cabin environment is dangerous. There will be disagreements about the propriety of conversations taking place in this public setting that will surely erupt into air rage situations when someone makes a judgment about the conversations going on around them. So that's a 34-year veteran of the skies. The comments, DOT says, were over 50-1 against. So we will see what happens, and we will keep you posted as to whether or not the Department of Transportation decides to allow cell phone calls. I think the texting thing is the perfect compromise. It seems like the perfect way for people to be able to communicate and not infringe on the rights of others. Okay, so if you travel a lot in these United States, you know that traffic is not just bad in Sacramento, it's a mess all over. If you've driven Interstate 80 to San Francisco in the last couple, 3 years, you know that it's become known as the Davis slowdown on the way home. So it's possible for a trip that used to take an hour and a half to easily take the better part of 3 hours. Here are three cities that Smarter Traveler says in their survey of the worst travel in the country. So see if you are going to any of these places or you've been to any lately if you agree. Number 10 on their list is Seattle. I would definitely agree with that, although traffic in Seattle has gotten worse in recent years. It's never been particularly good. They have water on one side of them and a lot of bridges. So that's usually an ingredient for trouble. And if you'll notice, a lot of these cities have water on one side of them. Chicago was 9th in worst traffic cities, Boston 8th. Yeah, I have to agree there. Dallas 7th, don't know too much about their rush hour traffic. Washington D6th, that's a mess. Miami 5th, traffic in Miami is terrible all the time. Atlanta 4th, San Francisco is 3rd, New York is 2nd, and the city in the United States with the most congested traffic, where you will spend the most hours going to and from attractions or to and from work, is Los Angeles. So no surprise in that one. All right, let's see here. On the headlines, we had a story about American Airlines and their boarding process. It seems as though, you know, that process that everybody except Southwest goes through, where everyone crowds up about 10 or 15 minutes before boarding starts in some effort, I guess, to get on the plane earlier. Well, American Airlines is going to try to enhance that process. They say they have created a new process, which includes their new basic fares. Those folks will be in boarding group number 9. So for American Airlines, starting the 1st of March, you will have, count them, 9 different boarding groups. We'll see how well that goes for them. There have got to be, let's see, yeah, disabled, yeah, there's probably at least 9 boarding groups if you count them all. So we'll see how that works for American. Another one pulled from our travel news headlines here is a very interesting story. I got this one off of Flyer Talk, which is a website where frequent flyers tend to congregate. And this is a report that British Airways baggage handling staff have apparently been caught with their pants down. It seems that there is some concern among British Airways corporate folks that urine is a corrosive substance and it can burn through and damage the aluminum fuselage of the aircraft. And it seems as though some of British Airways baggage carrier loader people have maybe been too deep in the airplane to get out in time and have decided to use the aircraft hold as a place to do their business. And so British Airways it seems like they would be concerned about what that would do to the luggage. But anyway, they're concerned about what it might do to the inside of the airplane, because apparently that has a corrosive effect on the inside of the aircraft. So it eventually emerged that urine is quite corrosive, and there were some issues with some of the Boeing 747s. No plane was in any danger, but staff were told to stop and use the proper facilities. So anyways, that's British Airways, and kind of a fun and interesting story there. AAA estimates that there has been a huge increase in family vacations. 13% more people are planning to take a vacation that is at least 50 miles away from home this year. This is a 28% increase of 3 years ago. So there is no question but that people are traveling a lot more these days than they were. And let's see here, what else have we got in the travel news? Delta Airlines has decided to raise their lounge membership prices by 10%. Next year. So if you are a member of one of the Delta Lounge passes, you can expect to pay almost $500 for your annual pass. And finally, let's see, what else do we have here? Passengers causing chaos by refusing to sit next to women on an EasyJet flight. Did you hear about this one? It seems as though some Orthodox Jewish men on a flight from Tel Aviv to London refused to take seats next to some women on the flight, and I don't have any more details than that, but police had to meet the plane in London. Eventually, they rearranged the ladies and got the men to sit down, and I'm not an Orthodox Jew, so I wouldn't know as much about that as perhaps some people listening would, but apparently that was kind of an area. We'll look into that and see if we can find out something about that for next week's program. All right, let's see here. That is your travel news for today. Before we talk about the rest of the program, let me remind you again what's happening today. Mark is with you right now. I'm Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, who brings you this program. And I am live with you from St. Louis, giving you the travel news. And then Tom and I have a series of interviews that Luis is going to queue up for us in just a few minutes here and take you with the travel guys the rest of the way. A couple of other notes. We announced on the program last week that we would have some tickets to Hamilton in San Francisco to give away. And indeed, we will. And we will have details on that on this program next week. We have four pairs of tickets. We will give them away every other week for 8 weeks. And we have some fun and creative ways that you can win them. So if you are a theater fanatic and you did not yet get tickets for the run of Hamilton, which starts in San Francisco the middle of next month, you can win tickets here on the Travel Guys, and you can get details on how to win those tickets right on this program next week. You can also find links to most everything that you hear about here on the Travel Guys today, including Frito Pies and trips to the Indianapolis 500 and to the Kentucky Derby and Lonely Planet's list of the 10 most interesting places to visit in the United States. You can find links to all of those places, as you can on all of our shows, at travelguysradio.com. Just go there and you'll find links to not only this week's show, but links to things from previous shows, things that will help make you a smarter traveler, and you can also find all of the podcasts from previous weeks. So if there's ever something from an old show that you'd like to look up, you can find it there. You can also request a notification on all of the and get a podcast notice in your box each week and hear the program without the commercial broadcasts if you wish to do that every Tuesday. So I am Mark Hoffman, and thank you for joining us on the Travel Guys today. We're going to take just a very short break here, and then when we come back, you are going to hear about trips to the Indianapolis 500 and to the Kentucky Derby with my friend Daniel Chavez. Very important if you're ever going to one of those events to get someone who knows the tickets and knows the stadium and you know exactly what it is that you're buying. And then after the news break, we'll talk to you about Frito Pies. If you've never heard of a Frito Pie before, make sure you stay tuned. We are the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK.
Morning news.
Welcome, everyone. You have the Travel Guys on your radio. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. A couple of the most popular racing events, pretty much almost of all time, is the Indianapolis 500, and for the horse racing fans, the Kentucky Derby. And Mark, you've lined up someone who takes people there on a regular basis. We're going to make them smarter travelers about doing just that.
Absolutely. Probably the premier, one of the premier sports tour and travel companies in the country is Sports Empire, which is in Southern California, and the owners of that company are good friends of mine. Sports Empire and Sports Leisure Vacations are very close to each other in the alphabet. So as you might imagine, our two companies have spent a lot of time being neighbors at trade shows and stuff over the years. And I've gotten to know Daniel and his wife, Suzanne, quite well. Daniel, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Very glad to be here.
Daniel, for many years, you and your lovely wife have been, one of the things that you do in your company is to take people to sporting events. And rather than taking them in groups, as we do, you allow people to buy packages individually and go and attend these spectacular events. And you have in May, we have two great things that happen every year on the calendar, the Kentucky Derby and the Indianapolis 500. And folks, if you've never been to either one of those events, you need to buy your package from somebody who knows what they're doing, because otherwise you're going to be on the far turn looking out at the freeway. Or something lots worse. Daniel, tell us a little bit about the packages that Sports Empire has for the Derby and the 500.
Well, all the packages that Sports Empire offers include hotel accommodations, event tickets, and ground transportation. And it's we find that over the years, our clients have told us what they are looking for. That's why we've been able to, over the years, hone it down just to what the basics of what our clients are looking for. So like, for example, with the Kentucky Derby, we offer three properties. We offer an airport property, and we offer two downtown properties. So we give the clients a little choice as far as, you know, budget and, of course, time frame. They can just attend the Derby on Saturday, or they can also attend the second largest single day of horse racing, the Kentucky Oaks, which is always held the day before the Derby. People ask about the Oaks, and as I say, Kentucky Derby is run for the roses. Kentucky Oaks is lilies for the fillies. It's the Kentucky Derby for the girl horses. So We offer hotel accommodations, event tickets, ground transportation. We offer 2- and 3-night packages. And we keep our packages simple because that's what our clients are told us they want to buy. But they always come back with memories that will truly last a lifetime, because events like the Kentucky Derby, like the Indy 500, you can't really describe to people, because everyone will take away something different from it, whether it's the fancy hats that the ladies are wearing, or the mint juleps, or the twin spires, or just the whole aura of being around the Downs. That's what we try and bring across when we offer these packages to our clients, and to a T, they come back, and it's just a blast. It truly is.
Tom, did you catch that? Lilies for the Phillies? I thought that was kind of cute.
I did. I wrote it down so I could use it another time. I didn't know that's what it was.
I love that. Daniel, when you are talking about a sporting event, the Super Bowl, the Final Four, the Indy 500, the Derby, there are a lot of seats at those venues. And there are a lot of good seats, and there are a lot of bad seats, and a lot of in-between seats. Do you offer folks the opportunity to be able to customize? I mean, can they upgrade, just get in the door? Explain how that works.
We always start out, as like Suzanne and I like to explain, it's like our packages start out like a cruise package with a lower level inside cabin without a view. You, of course, can always spend more to upgrade your view. Same perfect prime example is the Kentucky Derby. All the packages start out with the first floor grandstand seats. And the three things I always make sure to highlight to our clients about Churchill Downs is all the first and second floor seats at the Downs are long metal backless bleachers, no seat backs. They are all open to the elements. So if it's blazing hot or pouring rain on Derby weekend, they'll be in it. And because you are so low to the track surface in the first and second floor seating areas, you don't get a great view of the racing surface, and you end up watching most of the racing on the big screen set up there in the infield. We do offer upgrades to second-floor grandstand, third-floor clubhouse, and I always tell my clients the advantages to being in the third floor is that they are set up in boxes of 6 with folding chairs, so you do have a place to rest your back. They are all undercover, so you don't have to worry about precipitation or sun, because you will be out of the elements. And you are high enough up above the first and second floors, so you can actually see the horses on the track. So, of course, we do offer upgrades, as we do for almost all our events. So, but we always start out with the in the doors, as we call them, but you can always pay more to improve your view. And for an event like Derby, I always say you'll truly appreciate it, because first post at the Derby is 10:30 that Saturday. The Derby does not go off till almost 6:30 that night, so you're there for about 8 hours. So come about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when it's only the sixth race and you still got another 4 hours of racing to go before those 2 minutes, you truly appreciate being able to upgrade and get onto the third floor with a little more comfort, to say the least.
Yes. You see, Tom, I told you this guy knew what he was talking about. Right, in those 2 minutes, he told you all some really important information you need to know, because guess what? When he said it's either too hot or the weather or it's raining, Derby, for some reason, Derby and the weather seems to have a little bit of an issue with each other. So you say, well, you know, I'm not going to worry about that. But you get out there and it's pouring rain for hours. Mm-hmm. And you've paid all this money to go to a big event, so it is really important. It's kind of like going to spring training baseball games. We always tell people, make sure you get seats in the shade, because there aren't very many shaded seats, and when you get there, you'll understand why that was so important. Daniel, quickly, tell us a little bit about your Indianapolis 500 package.
Indy 500, we've offered the same property in downtown Indianapolis for the last 20 Indy 500 at the Hampton Inn, right in the heart of the city. And it's a 3-night package we offer with, once again, accommodations. We take the clients over on Saturday to the Hall of Fame Museum in Gasoline Alley, and they have seats for the driver's meeting. And then, of course, they have tickets for the big one, the 500, on Sunday. That's our 3-night package, in Friday, out Monday. And we also, as with the Derby, do offer upgrades. The seats that come with the 500 are in the short chute there between the first and second turns, but we have upgrades to the main straightaway, to the paddock boxes, all the way up to the paddock penthouses. So once again, if they want to improve their view, because it's you, me, and 300,000 of your closest friends, once again, you always appreciate having that availability to do it.
Daniel, you have been taking people to these events for a long time, and you have the knowledge that will allow people. These things are not inexpensive, these big sporting events and the like. And so it's really important. I mean, if you're listening and you're thinking, wow, you know, this is something I'd really want to do, make sure, please, that you buy the package from someone who has actual tickets and actual hotel reservations. I mean, this is important because you could spend a lot of money and get there and be incredibly disappointed either in what you bought or the fact that it doesn't completely exist. We're talking with Daniel Chavez. He is with Sports Empire. They do terrific sports and special event packages. Daniel does the Final Four, if you're interested in going to that, in Phoenix in about a month. It doesn't get any better than the Final Four, and these guys have got the tickets. So big sporting events. We will put a link to their website on our Travel Guys Radio. So if you are interested, you can check out all that Daniel has to offer there. And Daniel, please say hello to your lovely wife for me.
Definitely will. Definitely will.
Thank you, Daniel. Boy, I'll tell you, I think we made people a little smarter travelers for sure when it comes to traveling to the Derby or the Indy 500.
Tom, I have known Daniel and his wife for many years. And, you know, those sports packages, you're going to the Super Bowl or the Indy 500 or the Derby or some. These are things that people have dreamt about doing all of their lives. The tickets are incredibly expensive. If you want to sit in a decent seat, you're going to pay even more money.
Don't want to mess it up.
No, you don't. So you really and truly, you want to buy, if you're going to a major sporting event, you've got to do your homework. This is really important. And buy your tickets and your package from somebody who really has the hotel reservations and really has the tickets. Good news about buying from someone in California. There's a thing called the California Seller of Travel Number, which my company has, which Daniel's company has to have, and it requires you to abide by certain rules when it comes to sporting events and tickets and the like, and there are resolution ways to take care of things and stuff like that. So anyway, if you're looking for a good package for a sporting event, Sports Empire, there is a link at travelguysradio.com, and you could do way worse. But if you're buying one of those packages, make sure you buy it from somebody who's where if something is not there, you can go back to them.
Right, yeah, it's always nice to know that that you got a number that you can reach out to somebody if when you get there and things aren't like they're supposed to be.
Yep.
You know, you put it all together by yourself online, a little bit here, a little bit there. You have no backup.
You buy an expensive, if you're going to the Kentucky Derby or something, you've bought a plane ticket, you get there and the hotel says, "We never heard of you." You've got problems. All right, coming up after the news, we are going to take you on a trip with our friends from Road Food. We are going to discover together the Frito pie.
And right? That's not all.
That's not all. Other real pies from around the country with the guys from Road Food right after the news here on The Travel Guy.
You can travel by road. You can fly by plane. You can take
America's most famous travel show, The Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations on the radio here at KFBK. And, you know, we also do entertainment. That's part of what we do. And recently we've been doing a lot of food, it seems like. Mark, introduce our special guest.
Well, because when people travel, of course, they're eating. And one of the reasons people travel is to discover exotic foods. If you've ever watched Anthony Bourdain wander around
Absolutely.
The planet.
Yeah.
But right here in our own backyard here, we have the Road Food folks who go all over the country looking for special little regional treats and things like that. Michael, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Great to be with you.
Michael, you did a thing recently here, a little one of your stories where you talked about something that I'll bet a lot of people in Sacramento have never heard of before, and that is the Frito pie. And you talked about where you specifically that you were talking about and stuff, and I'm going to let you tell the story, but the reason it got my attention was because you were talking about the place where I personally discovered Frito pies about 30 years ago in Santa Fe. So please tell the story.
Well, the place you discovered it in Santa Fe was probably the Five and Dime, you know, formerly Woolworth. Where
Absolutely.
The claim is, and she was probably working there when you were there, cook Teresa Hernandez liked the way they served chili at a nearby diner, because they would serve you the chili and then sprinkle some chips on top of it. So she got the bright idea to put the chips below the chili and ladle the chili on top of the chips in a Frito bag, and then possibly, you know, a few diced tomatoes and onions, and of course cheese, and the chili has to be hot enough to start melting the cheese. And the genius of this invention is that the chips themselves, you know, on the bottom, some will get really soft, almost like cornmeal, very earthy, and some that are on the side or near the top will stay nice and crisp. So it's a tremendous kind of textural variety when you eat one of these.
Tom, can you tell how much Michael likes?
I've never heard anybody describe it quite that way. I was going to chime in, but my mouth was watering so much. I love, and I think a lot of people do, I love that combination of the hot, the spicy, and the crunchy that all comes together with something like that.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, it's what's interesting is that the Frito pie has remained more or less a Southwestern dish. I've seen it pop up actually on a couple of menus around the country, you know, when they're trying to imitate Southwestern food. But basically, it's a Southwestern dish. And I do have to say that somebody is going to be really mad at me for saying it was invented in Santa Fe. I mean, that's the generally accepted story. But there's a woman in Dallas who swears that it was invented in Dallas, where, in fact, the Frito was invented back in the 1930s. I mean, well, I don't take sides in that debate.
Kind of logical sense, I guess.
Well, I used to live with a bunch of rock and roll musicians back in the late 60s, and each week it was somebody else's turn to cook for the family, okay? Kind of commune type of an invention, if you will. And my specialty was what I called Frito Delight, which comes real close to what you're talking about. How long ago was this? Did they come up with this?
Well, the one in Santa Fe claims that they invented it back in the 1960s.
They stole my idea, I can just tell.
Yeah, they stole it from you, that's all. You got to sue them.
There you go.
Our guest is Michael Stern from Road Food. It is a what is Road Food these days, Michael?
What is it? It's a website, roadfood.com, where if you're traveling anywhere in the country, you can go on and look for places near where you're headed that do serve kind of colorful, interesting regional food, not necessarily fancy places. In fact, mostly not fancy places, but little barbecues, chili parlors, clam shacks in New England, et cetera, et cetera. And also Road Food in the beginning was a book. And it, in fact, we're coming out in next month with the 10th edition of Road Food with 1,000 restaurants around the country listed in it. There are a lot of people who like to carry this book with them, and I've seen copies that are just like totally—they've got gravy and sauce. They're wonderful methods, sure, but a real record of where these people have been.
That's great.
And the beauty of the Road Food website is, Tom, is that Michael, as he's indicated here, is kind of all about comfort food. That's what has, and I'm a comfort food guy, so that's what attracted me to their site. I went to, they used to have a great food tasting in New Orleans, and that's where we first met a couple of years ago. Michael, before we let you go, I know we're talking about Frito pies, and those are, certainly not a dessert pie. I would guess I would call it an entree pie. All over the country, and recently Road Food had a list of some of the great pies in the country. Give us a couple of examples. If you had to go for a piece of dessert pie someplace in the country, give us a couple of examples of places you would go.
All right. I would go to Nashville, Tennessee, and a diner called the Silver Skillet. But I would get there early in the morning because they bake maybe one or two lemon icebox pies. And when they're gone, and they're often gone before 11 o'clock, that's it for the day. But this is just ethereal pie. It's that perfect balance of tart and sweet. Just an elegant piece of pie. That would be my first choice. Where else am I? Oh, I'm going to go to Wisconsin. It's not even a restaurant. It's a bakery, farm stand. And actually, I think they did put in a few tables, called The Elegant Farmer. And they do a weird thing. And they bake their apple pies in a paper bag. And somehow,
oh my goodness,
the pie being in the bag makes the top like kind of crisp, very crisp and crunchy and kind of caramelized. And it's just that to me is perhaps the best apple pie in the country, which is saying a lot since so many great apple pies abound around this place.
Baked in a bag.
Yeah,
I'd have to see that. Where was that again?
It's called The Elegant Farmer in a town called Maquonago, Wisconsin.
Awesome.
That sounds like a Wisconsin
it's a great
sort of place.
Besides the pies. I mean, it's like a genuine country farm stand.
We will put a link to roadfood.com so that you can explore the website yourself. If you travel around this great country of ours, this is a website that should be part of your travels because it will lead you to places where you will discover wonderful small treasures like Frito pies on the plaza in Santa Fe. Michael, thank you so much for your time today. Let's not make it 2 years before we talk food again on the radio.
Okay, it was a pleasure for me talking with you guys.
Outstanding. I'm on my way to stop by and grab a bag of Fritos and a can of chili and be on my way. Thanks so much for joining us. We are the Travel Guys, making you hungry today as well as a smarter traveler here on KFBK.
When we come back, it's time for the home stretch of today's Travel Guys show, and we will take you. Lonely Planet has named the top 10 places in the United States to visit. One of them is in California this year, and you couldn't guess it in a million years, but we'll give it to you when we come back.
Modesto.
Nice try, Thomas. Okay. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK.
Well, here we are. It's the home stretch, not of the Kentucky Derby, no, or the Indy 500. But the Travel Guys here on a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we teased a moment ago, it's time for another list, another top list.
It is.
And who again is this?
Wait a minute. What did you say? Another top list.
I
said topless.
A topless list.
Top
I don't know.
List.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. I'm still hungry for one of those Frito pie things. I really had one of those like 30 years ago. We're standing outside the Woolworths on the plaza there in Santa Fe, and it says Frito pie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that sounds kind of interesting. And I never guessed that the lady was going to rip open the bag and ladle the chili right into the bag. If you ever get a chance to have one of those.
Are Woolworths still around?
Gosh.
Aren't they out of business?
Oh, I believe they're completely gone.
Yeah, they were what used to be referred to as a five and dime.
Five and dime, you betcha. Listen, it's as long as we're on the subject here, one of my travelers sent me this thing. It says the year is 1916. So it's 100 years ago. I'm sure you've all seen these, but here are just some differences in just 100 years on the planet. The life expectancy for men was 47 years.
My gosh.
Fuel for cars was sold in drugstores only.
Pardon me?
And you could only buy fuel for your automobile in a drugstore 100 years ago. Only 14% of homes had a bathtub and only 8% had a telephone, which means that twice as many people were clean as who could call each other, I guess, at that point. The maximum speed limit in most cities in 1916 was 10 miles an hour. Tallest structure in the world, what do you think it was in 1916?
Wow, in 1916, huh? I don't know. When did the Empire State Building
get the Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower, okay.
The average wage in 1910, 6 years off of that, 22 cents per hour. The average worker made between $200 and $400 a year. A competent accountant could expect to make $2,000 a year, and a dentist $2,500. More than 100 years ago in this country, more than 95% of all births took place at home.
Wow.
Wow. That sugar was 4 cents a pound. Eggs were 14 cents a dozen. 90% of all doctors had no college education. Instead, they attended so-called medical schools, many of which were condemned in the press and the government as substandard.
Wow.
So that's how Canada passed a law that prohibited poor people from entering into their country for any reason in 1916. Now, remember, we're just on the cusp of World War I here.
Mm-hmm.
So five leading causes of death were pneumonia and influenza. That counts as one. Tuberculosis, diarrhea, heart stroke, heart disease, and stroke. So some things haven't changed too much. The population of Las Vegas, Nevada, 100 years ago.
I don't know, 10,000?
30 people.
Oh, my gosh.
30 people. Crossword puzzles, canned beer, and iced tea hadn't been invented yet. There wasn't a Mother's Day or a Father's Day. Only 2 out of 10 adults could read or write. Two out of 10 adults couldn't read or write in 1916. Marijuana, heroin, and morphine were all available over the counter at local drugstores.
My gosh, how things have changed.
Yeah. So anyway, just some things from 100 years ago. 1916, there were 230 reported murders in the entire United States, which I think is probably less than there are going to be in Chicago this year. Anyways, just something kind of interesting and fun there. You know, what were things were like 100 years ago? What will they be like 100 years from now?
Exactly. What will they be like 100 years from now?
I will guess to you that none of the people who are described in that little ditty that I just did there 100 years ago would have ever had any imagination as to what we are sitting with today. I mean, with all the technology and everything, I can't imagine. All right. Anyways, we promised a list, and we have one here. Lonely Planet has named the top 10 U.S. places to visit this year. Now, this is not your normal list of just, you know, the 10 best spots, because that would be really subjective. Lonely Planet says that it sent its editors, its writers, and the travel community to help it choose 10 destinations poised to shine next year. So whether they're up and coming, or they've just been overlooked, or they just think that the time is right, this is what the people at Lonely Planet think are the 10 most up-and-coming spots.
And we're talking, when you say next year, we're talking about 2018.
2017, actually.
Okay.
This is early enough in the year that they're talking about 2017.
Okay,
top 10. Number 10 on the list is Asheville, North Carolina. That's really a good choice.
Why would that be?
Well, because that's where the Biltmore Mansion is, which is kind of the Hearst Castle of the East.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go tour a big, you know, mansion, the Vanderbilts live there. And so I would say Asheville is a very comparable to Ashland, Oregon. Probably a little bit kind of Mendocino-ish, although it's a bigger, much bigger. Asheville's a much bigger town than Mendocino. Number two on their list here was Western Washington, which I think is kind of interesting. They're talking about the San Juan Islands and Whidbey Island and just everything off the coast there of in Puget Sound,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I would have to argue is probably one of the most beautiful places to visit in the whole country. This one's kind of interesting. Lincoln, Nebraska.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And make a guess, or do you have some insight as to why?
They say part of it is because the state capital of Nebraska is celebrating its 150th anniversary next year.
Mm-hmm.
Lonely Planet describes the city's unexpected polish, which includes 130 miles of trails, downtown's Haymarket District art galleries, specialty shops, and Vietnamese and Sudanese-accented restaurants and districts in Lincoln, Nebraska, of all places. So we've got Lonely Planet's list. If you've just tuned into the Travel Guys here, it's Mark and Tom, and we've got Lonely Planet's list of 10 most up-and-coming places to visit in the United States this year. This next one is the California one, and we have a group of sports leisure travelers going there in a few weeks. California's Low Desert. So they're talking about the Coachella Valley, Palm Springs, Joshua Tree,
mm-hmm.
29 Palms, that whole area out there. So the desert is really a fascinating place. If you've never traveled much or gone sightseeing or on some kind of educational trip into the desert, the colors and the shapes, and that you'd think, well, you know, there's nothing growing there, except of course there are things growing there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they got a tremendous amount of rain in Death Valley last weekend. So the spring in Death Valley this year will be quite spectacular, especially since this sort of is spring
mm-hmm.
in Death Valley, middle of February. All right, anyway, Lonely Planet's list here of best places to visit. We've got, we had Asheville, Western Washington, Lincoln, Nebraska, California's Low Desert, Montana's Flathead Valley. This is the area up north near Glacier National Park, Kalispell area, basically. Beautiful, beautiful area to visit, and I would agree with them. This is an area that, Glacier Park is really an overlooked area. That whole region up there in Montana is not easy to get to. You can fly into Kalispell, and you can fly out of Great Falls, but you kind of have to want to go there. But, you know, glaciers, the planet is warming up for whatever reason, so glaciers might be something that your grandchildren might not see a lot of. So you might want to put that on your bucket list, if for no other reason than, have you been up to Alaska and seen the glaciers?
I have not.
To get you up there one of these days, Mr. Romano.
All right.
All right, number six on their list of Lonely Planet's places to visit this year is Atlanta, Georgia. Now, you wouldn't think necessarily, but they say that Lonely Planet says that there is a huge walkability factor to Atlanta. They have a rising local art scene, a slew of brew pubs, sounding like downtown Portland, new restaurants and the creative energy from television production companies filming hits like The Walking Dead make Atlanta the Hollywood of the South.
Fascinating.
So you could run into a TV filming.
Yeah, you never know. You get a whole street full of zombies, to go to lunch with.
On the Lonely Planet's list of up-and-coming destinations this year, you're thinking about places to go for the summer, this would be a good choice, or the early fall, the Adirondack Mountains in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Saranac Lake, Tupper Lake, Lake Placid, where the Olympics have been held a couple of times, the Winter Olympics. Really a beautiful area. And if you go to the Adirondacks, they'll be really crowded in the summer. If you wait until after the summer, and you wait till like about the third or fourth week of September, there's probably a pretty good chance that you'll hit some really spectacular fall colors. And a lot of the people, especially the people with children, will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a person who likes to travel when the families are not, the Adirondacks would be a great opportunity. Texas Hill Country Wine Region is another one of their spots on the Lonely Planet list here. Fredericksburg, it's the area, well, just north of, you're familiar with there, San Antonio
right,
area and stuff.
Been up to that area, and my daughter is a member of a wine club. And it really is a spectacular hilly country, and it's just kind of odd, you know, and to be in Texas and come around a bend, it's kind of wide open in that area, and see grape vineyards.
Well, and Austin's not too terribly far away from that area, and then you've got LBJ's Ranch and stuff like that. I know that when our company does sightseeing or does a trip to Texas per se, generally we're in that Austin, San Antonio kind of area there in the Hill Country. Denver, Colorado. Lonely Planet says the secret is out. Ample sunshine, a brewery on every corner. Do you sense a theme here with the breweries? An endless supply of adrenaline-firing fun combined with artsy districts like RINO, River North, RI for River and NO for North. That's the Rhino and the Lohi, which is Low Highland. So other neighborhoods in downtown Denver, of course, they have a ballpark. Now in downtown Denver, which should provide you some play. You can go watch the Rockies play. It's kind of sort of baseball there. It's speaking of which, the guys are in right now as we speak, are in Arizona getting ready. Okay, and finally, the number 10 thing on Lonely Planet's list here of top 10 U.S. places to visit is Florida's Emerald Coast. This is the northern Gulf Coast. So picture Florida and now that area up around Pensacola, and they're talking about Florida's Emerald Coast. Old timers might remember this northern Gulf Coast stretch of beaches as the Redneck Riviera, encompassing towns like Seaside, seen in the movie The Truman Show. The 100-mile beachfront is drawing investors building restaurants, resorts, and condos. Florida's Emerald Coast. And those are the places that the Lonely Planet says are the top 10 to visit in the United States.
And you seem to feel pretty positive that they're pretty close to being right on.
I think they've hit some good ones there. Yeah, the California Low Desert, the glacier country up there in Montana.
What do you know about Lonely Planet?
What do I know about Lonely Planet?
That you
could
share with us for our listeners.
Well, Lonely Planet is a writing website, a travel website that regularly compiles lists just like this, best beaches, best places to go. But they tend to do them with a little bit of a slant like they've done here. They're basically saying, these are places that we think are kind of up and coming, overlooked, or maybe offer other new reasons to visit. We will put this list on travelguysradio.com in case you were driving around and you heard one of them and something piqued your interest there and you might want to learn a little bit more about it.
Very good. Well, that just about wraps it up. By the way, all the things that we talk about on the Travel Guys, remember you can go to travelguysradio.com and there'll be links to them right there on our webpage, as well as opportunity to podcast all the shows from the past.
Mark? Absolutely. You can sign up and we will send you a notice every Monday that says, here's a link to the podcast. You can hear the radio program without the commercials. You'll find that it's just slightly shorter. Mr. Romano, you have a wonderful week, and we will be back here again next Sunday at 3:00 to make folks a smarter traveler.
All right. Final words.
Final words. Dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next week.